television is a good media for us to get information and stories from. And I'm starting this talk this morning with a story. And a man was charged for murder in Los Angeles about 60 years ago. It was a difficult case with a lot of circumstantial evidence. The man's defense lawyer, however, thought of an ingenious ploy in his summing up speech, where he said, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you must find my client not guilty of murder if there is the slightest doubt in your minds that he is not the murderer. Now, I have one final witness. The true murderer is about to walk through the door." And all the eyes swung towards the door, but no one came in. The lawyer then continued and said, "You see, ladies and gentlemen, there is doubt in your mind. Otherwise, you would have not looked towards the door." The jury retired to deliberate and came back 5 hours later with a guilty verdict. The lawyer was beside himself, and before the judge could pass sentence, he sprang up and said, "But I proved that you had a doubt about my client's guilt. How can you possibly find him guilty?" And an old wizened man from the jury stood up and said, "As everyone looked towards the door, I watched your client. His eyes did not turn towards the door. He did not look towards the door because he knew no one was coming through, because he himself was the guilty one." Now, in contrast to that courtroom where the star witness did not appear, this morning's gospel reading, however, is all about the star witness who did appear. And he came to answer the question that was on everyone's lips: who is Jesus? Who was this star witness? He was none other than God the Father, who answered the question by revealing Jesus' glory to the disciples, Peter, James, and John, by saying, "This is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him." And the relevance of all of this for us was summed up in three simple words: listen to him. Jesus is God's Son, and we need to listen to him. Now, the gospel reading that we've had is known as the Transfiguration, and that comes from the Latin word transfiguratio. It refers to the remarkable transformation that took place in the appearance of Jesus. And when I looked at this passage, the first reaction that I came up with was, but why did it actually take place? And I think the answer to that can be found in the previous chapter in Mark 8, where we read that the people had been asking the question, "Who is Jesus?" It seems to be that from their response, it was very much a hot topic. And the disciples replied, some say that John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others of them say that there are other prophets. Now, if it hadn't have been hot gossip at the time, they wouldn't have said that. But it wasn't just the crowds who were talking about Jesus. His own disciples were asking the same question. Because we read in Mark 8:29, Peter, then he asked them, "But what about you?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And in Matthew's gospel, in chapter 16, it says that Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living Lord." The question, "Who is this Jesus?" was burning on everybody's lips. And in the previous chapter, in Mark 8 again, we can see human responses. And now in chapter 9, we see a divine response. And I believe the transfiguration took place because God the Father wanted to answer the question definitely once and for all: who is Jesus? So let's look at the transfiguration in a bit more detail. at the Transfiguration, three significant events took place. Jesus' appearance was transformed. Moses and Elijah appeared with him on the mountain. And God the Father spoke to the disciples. And all of these were part of the Father's response to who is Jesus. So let's look at that first event, the actual Transfiguration. Now, Jesus had taken Peter, James and John up a high mountain. It was probably Mount Hermon, near Caesarea in Philippi. And Mark describes the scene. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. Now, part of the Father's response to the question, who is Jesus, who was to reveal Jesus in his full glory, in a parallel passage in St. Matthew's Gospel, the record is more detailed. It records that Jesus' face shone like the sun and his clothes became dazzling white. Now, you may actually recall another story that from the Old Testament where Moses came down the mountain having been in the presence of God, and his face shone so much, reflecting the glory of God, that he had to wear a veil. And let me read you that passage from Exodus 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony, holding the Ten Commandments in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses that his face was radiant, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. When Moses had finished speaking, he put a veil over his face. And in the same way as the glory of God was reflected in Moses, so God the Father revealed to Peter, James, and John Jesus in his glory. God the Father gave his disciples clear visual evidence of who Jesus is. And then the second significant event, what happened at the Transfiguration, was that Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus. And there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, who were talking with Jesus. Moses and Elijah represented the law and the prophets of the Old Testament. And I find it significant that after God the Father had spoken, Moses and Elijah disappeared. And Jesus, however, remained on his own. Now, there was one commentator who put it, "The law and the prophets have served their turn and they pass away. He who is the fulfillment of both alone remains." Who is Jesus? Another aspect of God the Father's answer is that Jesus is the one who replaced the old covenant. A new era on the horizon. The old covenant represented by Moses and Elijah is going to pass away. And the new covenant is coming through the death and resurrection of Jesus. The new covenant is a relationship with Jesus. And the third significant event that happened at the Transfiguration was that God the Father told the disciples who Jesus is. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly they looked around and they no longer saw anyone except Jesus. And it's interesting that when God the Father spoke, he simply said, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Who is Jesus? God the Father tells us that Jesus is his Son. Jesus is revealed here as God the Son. But what relevance does this have to us today? Well, God the Father's final three words were, "Listen to Jesus." And when God the Father had finished speaking, Elijah and Moses were gone. And Jesus remained. And this speaks to me of the primacy of Jesus. Now, God didn't say, "Listen to Jesus and Moses and Elijah." He simply said, "Listen to Jesus." And Jesus made some outstanding claims. For example, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." There is no other way to God other than through Jesus. We don't have rules and regulations in order to get to heaven. It's not a matter of being good. Rather, it is a matter of coming to the Father through Christ. So in conclusion, if you were asked the question, "Who do you think Jesus is?" how would you reply? Amen.